The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome to Happy Hour. I'm happy to see all of you. This is kind of exciting. Nikki and I are doing this experiment of doing Happy Hour more often. And it's gratifying to see that some people would like to join in and share with us this practice of loving kindness. So I think many of us know this idea that if we have loving kindness, or the Pali word is metta, and we could translate that in a number of different ways, loving kindness, warm-heartedness, maybe even care. Friendliness, goodwill, these are all things that I've heard. That if we have this, it would enable us to embrace everybody else, other beings, as well as ourselves, just how they are, and just how we are. That loving kindness is a way in which helps us to open our hearts no matter what might be happening with other individuals, or no matter what we might be seeing with ourselves. But, right, it turns out this may not be so easy. And part of this is because we could use this expression, our fault-finding mind. That is this inclination or habit to always find what's wrong and what needs to be fixed and what should be better and what needs to be different, and it really should be this other way or something like this. And I think all humans have this. It's part of, I would say, it's actually part of our evolutionary biology, that our minds are inclined to see what's not quite right and to be kind of looking around, paying attention to that. For the simple reason to help us stay safe, to help us learn from mistakes, and to help us avoid danger and to avoid things that are threatening. So it's not a mistake that our minds do this. In some ways, we can imagine that our predecessors, our ancestors, were people that successfully avoided danger and were able to pass their genes on to the next generation. So in some ways, there's been a selection for people who are making sure that they're safe and not harmed. So it's for this reason that loving kindness practice can be really helpful as a way to counteract or maybe counterbalance our experience, not to say that everything is safe and that we should never find faults, because let's be honest, things are not perfect and sometimes we don't feel safe. But with loving kindness practice is an opportunity for us to balance out this negativity bias that we might have. This negativity bias that not only has us search for things that are not quite right, but also to focus on them and to somehow give them a sticky power, in the sense that they stay in our mind and we might find ourselves ruminating about the things that aren't quite right. So with loving kindness practice helps us to bring a little bit of softness and a little bit openness, spacious warmth, that helps us to see that bigger picture, helps us to see that not only bad things are happening, but there are some other things as well. And our fellow creatures, fellow humans, and ourselves, right, are a mixture. Some things that are great, and some things maybe could use a little work, something like that. So some of you may be familiar with this book. It's called Kindfulness. This is by Ajahn Brahm, where he talks a little bit about metta. And in this book, he compares loving kindness practice to having a warm and radiant fire in your heart. There's something kind of cozy about a campfire. Whether we've actually experienced them or not, just the idea of, sitting around a campfire is people sharing, and there's literal and figurative warmth and roasting marshmallows, this kind of a sweet, tender, maybe a vision that comes to mind when we think of a fire, campfire. So something that Ajahn Brahm says, well, that you can't expect to light the fire of loving kindness by starting with a difficult object. That is, we don't start or with cultivating loving kindness or developing loving kindness by in the midst of when we're having the biggest difficulties or in the midst of a disagreement with a person that we find difficult. So he says that any more than we would expect to light a campfire by striking a match under a thick log, we don't start loving kindness practice with the most difficult situation. Instead, he recommends spreading loving kindness to someone or something that is easy. It's easy to ignite, if you will, with loving kindness. And for those of you who have heard me do the happy hour before, know that I'm a big advocate of this, to start where it's easy. So just like campfires, that start with a paper or kindling or something else that's easy to ignite. And then we add, like maybe small twigs, maybe a little bit bigger kindling, then maybe a little bigger pieces of wood. And then it's not until the fire is really roaring and hot that then we can put on really big logs or something wet and sappy, or for example, or something like this. So Ajahn Brahm gives the example that he starts loving kindness by imagining a kitten. And for those of you who have seen him, he's a large person. He lives in Australia, and it's very sweet for me to imagine him with this cute little kitten. So we can use our powers of imagination to bring a kitten to mind, a puppy to mind, or babies, or something else, whatever is supportive for us to ignite, quote unquote, this warm-heartedness, this feeling of care and goodwill towards others. And then it's not until that we have this internal fire where there's some warmth and some a real maybe momentum going, that then we would add others on. And we can find that this is a much easier way to do metta practice. I know a number of people, when they talk to me about their metta practice, they sometimes are describing that, you know, having difficulty sending it to somebody who happens to be really difficult. And then I always say, well, you know, start where it's easy. And it might be that we stay where it's easy for a long time. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is no race to get to the most difficult person as soon as possible. Because for those of you who have been doing loving kindness practice, what you might be discovering is that some of the power, the transformative power, the strength of changing our inner landscape, lies not in specifically what we are experiencing while we're meditating, though that might happen, but it might be while we're meditating, we're kind of going through the motions, not exactly sure, perhaps, if this is loving kindness, am I doing this right? But it does, setting the intention and repeatedly coming back to our intention to develop loving kindness is what can really change the inner workings of the mind, change the inner landscape, independent of whether we feel like it's exactly what we, like it doesn't have to any particular feeling, but it's the fact that we're able to stick with it and to repeat it. But it does become easier if we start with a lovable being and stay there. So I said a little bit of two different things there. It's easier to start with a lovable being because it has a easier to feel this warmth that can be generated. But I also want to say, even if you don't feel the warmth, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't, loving kindness practice can be really powerful and can be transformative and help us to embrace other people and ourselves with some warm-heartedness. And we're so in need, all of us are in need of this ourselves and our communities, with lots of warm-heartedness. So this is a way in which we can make our own lives and the lives of those around us better. Okay. So with that as an introduction, let's begin by do a little bit of just checking in with the body, just getting grounded and centered here. It can be helpful to take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Just sometimes the exaggerated movements can help us to tap into or touch into or the sensations in the body. And something that's helpful with loving kindness practice is to have a certain amount of ease, as much as is possible in the body. Maybe I shouldn't say as much as is possible, without making any amount of unease a problem. Can we bring a certain amount of ease or comfort? For some people, this means doing loving kindness practice while lying down. For some people, this means to use extra cushions or to be sit in a way that's comfortable and yet has some alertness, yet has some uprightness to kind of keep the mind bright and engaged. So to support some of this comfort or ease can be helpful to just check in with the body. Are there some areas in which there is some tension or tightness? It might be that just bringing our awareness, our attention to that region of the body might be sufficient to bring a little bit more spaciousness. It might not, too. As humans, we often hold tension in our faces. Check in with the face. Often with our bellies. While you're tuning into the bodily sensations, can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. So you can feel grounded, connected. And then can rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the movement of the abdomen, of the chest. Maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. We'll just hang out here for a little bit. Thank you. So nothing in particular needs to be happening. Just noticing the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, doesn't have to be a problem. You just begin again, the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, care, warmth, respect, benevolence, goodwill. This might be somebody you know, or maybe it's an imaginary kitten or puppy or baby. You can just check in with the body and see if there's any sensations associated with bringing this lovable being to mind. It might be that there's a softness or spaciousness in the heart center, in the chest area. Or it might be that there's maybe a little bit sense of ease or a little bit more relaxation or spaciousness, perhaps a vague kind of way, diffuse kind of way. And of course, you might not experience anything in particular. That's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases, keeping them in mind, while keeping in mind the lovable being. So can repeat the phrases silently, or if you'd like, you can do them out loud. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body again and see if there is any feeling of warm-heartedness or spaciousness. And if so, to allow that experience, those sensations to support you. And you're welcome to modify the phrases. Use words that perhaps resonate more with you. The general recommendation, however, is to keep the phrases simple and general, not too complicated. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we can build on this loving kindness that we've been cultivating, developing, and extend it, expand it to include ourselves. If it feels like you want to stay with the lovable being and not move on to yourself, that's perfectly fine. But to do loving kindness for yourself, to bring to mind either an image of yourself, either as you are now, or some people like to do a younger version of themselves, even when they were children or toddlers even. And then we'll just modify the phrase. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now I'd like to encourage us to add a little bit of equanimity practice with our loving kindness practice. And for this practice, to help us support a sense of balance and well-being, you can bring to mind somebody that you care about, that you have a relationship with. And sometimes there's a little bit of tension in the relationship. Maybe there's a little bit of irritation. There's no need to begin with the most difficult person, but somebody for whom you care about, but there's also sometimes some difficulties. So bring this person to mind. And then we can say a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then for the last moments of this meditation, which practice feels like would be the one that would be the most nourishing, supportive, beneficial for you? Loving kindness for a lovable being, loving kindness for yourself, equanimity practice using a mildly annoying person, or maybe mindfulness of breathing or mindfulness of the body. What would be the kind thing, the warm-hearted thing to do for yourself now? Thank you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. For those of you who have done happy hour with me before, know that I like to encourage us to, as part of integrating this practice and understanding it better and maybe finding new ways of interpreting it, or as well as to make connections with other people. It can be really helpful to have some conversations with others about that meditation. Did you learn anything? Do you have some questions or something you'd like to explore, or an observation you might have, something like this? So I'm going to put you into breakout rooms. There'll be like 3 or 4 people per per room. And you'll have about, 15 minutes. And so there'll be a little bit timer. So keep an eye on the clock so that one person doesn't do all the talking. It can be really helpful just to say a brief thing, not everything that you need to say, and then go around the circle a few times, go all the way around the circle, and then maybe it comes back to you, and then you have more to say, being influenced by what you heard. And I'd like to suggest that the person whose last name ends in the go in alphabetical order according to the last letter of your last name. So, for example, I'm Diana Clark, so I would be K, just so that those people who have their last names at the beginning of the alphabet don't always have to go first. And I see so you'll be going off into the breakout rooms. I see that, you know, there's 2 versions of me here. So there's Diana Clark backup. I think I'm going to get put into a room, but I'm not going to go there. I'll see if I can get myself out. Oh, whoops. You know what? I'm going to quickly make some changes here. Okay. So, see you in a little bit. Have fun. So welcome back, everybody. So we have, I guess we only have 2 minutes. If we like to hear maybe from one person. Yes, Francis, you already have
your
hand up.
We have one question.
Yes.
We loved having happy hours every day. Are they going to continue?
Yeah, this is a great question. So we, right now, we're going to do it for 2 more weeks, definitely. And then we're kind of like doing it 2 weeks by 2 weeks. So at the end of that, we'll reevaluate and see whether it seems appropriate and helpful, but definitely 2 more weeks we'll be doing this. So great, great. I'm happy. Happy to hear this, that there's some enthusiasm about this. Anybody else have maybe one quick question?
I don't have a question, but I see the chat is disabled, but you know, Bhante G is doing metta every day. It's 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And I put the link for the,
in
the chat for the PM Zoom. And I can also put the other one in too.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, Bhante Ji, he's one of the, if not the pioneer, the kind of like a Theravada Buddhism in America. And he has a monastery in West Virginia. Barry, do you go? Have you been there?
Yeah, I've only been on 3 retreats in my life, and 2 of them have been there. So
nice.
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, I've never been there. He has some well-known books, including not too long ago, a few years ago, he published one on loving kindness. Maybe loving, I don't remember the title of it, but Bhante Gunaratana, Bhante Ji. Okay, well, it's 7 o'clock. I didn't get a chance to talk with too many of you today, but it's a great pleasure to see you all and to be practicing together. And Morgan, I can see that Morgan has a little message to Bess in her title name. Bess, did you see that? That's so cute. And I'm going to unmute everybody all now as a way that we could all say goodbye and some greetings. And then I'll keep the meeting open for a little bit if people want to chat. But otherwise, it's 7 o'clock, and I want to respect other people's times. So I'm going to unmute us all. And okay, so nice seeing everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice
to
see you, Diana.
Yes, my pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi, Abraham.
You've got a brilliant smile.
So cute.
Even though,
Morgan, your whole phone number doesn't show on the.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay, no. Beth, my text me, call me, whatever is 650-339-9964.
I'm gonna
339.
Thank you.